The message that we're looking at today out of 1 John chapter 2 in these first two verses is our advocate before the judge. That's the title of the message that we're looking at this morning. You know, judgment is a word for which our culture has less and less toleration. Tell me that God is a God of love, and I will listen. Tell me that He is a father, a friend, a comforter, one to come alongside and help me and walk with me. Tell me that He is powerful, the powerful one, who can bring all His resources to bear to come to my aid and to help me in my distress. Tell me that He is there to bear my burdens and to make my path straight. Tell me that He's kind. Tell me that He's faithful. Tell me that He's loving and a caring Father of all. Tell me that all day long. I love hearing that. You love hearing that. But don't tell me that He is the judge. That word is just too harsh a word for God. Often our culture today feels that the average person loves to hear that God is a God of love, and indeed He is, and we all love that. We're so thankful that He is. In fact, all of those descriptors that I just used speaking of God are absolutely true. He is all of those things. But that's not all that God is. He is also a God of absolute truth, and He is one who makes specific demands and has particular claims on us and on all of His creation. And today, tragically, we often want a God that we can make out to be whatever we want Him to be. Often our culture thinks that way, but that really is not our option. God, as you know, has very carefully manifested in the Scripture who He is. He's revealed Himself just as He is, and He's shown Himself to be all the things that we mentioned earlier, and also to be the judge. Psalm 50 and verse 6 says, God is a judge Himself. And Psalm 9 and verse 8 tells us that He shall judge the world in righteousness. And the reason I'm introducing the subject today this way, speaking about God as the judge, is because the passage to which we have turned is a passage with judicial language. And I want us to look at that as we prepare for the Lord's table this morning. I want to take us into a courtroom. And I want to take us into a courtroom where God is presiding as the judge. Listen to these verses here. Just the first two verses of 1 John chapter 2 is all we're going to read. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let me ask you something as we begin this morning. Do you sin? Do you sin? Have you ever sinned? And if that's true of you, as I know that it is, just as it's true of me, it's true of everyone, then whatever it is that we're looking at this morning is for you, and it's for me, and it's for every sinner. And I want us to focus this morning on us considering ourselves sitting in a courtroom and God is presiding as our judge. And I want us to think about the people that are in this courtroom. And I want to do it out of this passage. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we look at it. Our Father, thank you today that you are exactly who you have revealed yourself to be. How grateful we are that you are our Creator, that you are our loving Father, that you made us, you know everything that there is to know about us, and you care about all the things that go on in our lives. How grateful we are for that. Thank you for your faithfulness and how we have, all of us, have had opportunity to look in our lives, some lives longer than others, but we've all had opportunity to look and see that you are a faithful God. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the numerous times that you have come to us and rescued us, most of the time when we didn't even know it. And so we thank you for your kindness and your faithful caring and nurturing of us the way that you so graciously do. And we recognize also, God, as you revealed yourself in your word, that you are the judge. And you're the judge of all the earth, and you're the judge who always judges righteously. And we recognize that all of us will stand before you. And so we pray that as we consider this time this morning, that you would actually encourage our hearts by what we consider today as we prepare to receive your table. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at people that are in this courtroom, and the first one I want to call our attention to is the devilish accuser. There is in that courtroom a devilish accuser. You know that across our country and in many countries of the world, the courthouse is a necessary part of that community. And in that courthouse are various courtrooms. And in those rooms, cases are heard. There is a plaintiff in the room, and that plaintiff is in that room bringing a complaint against someone. And that someone, as you know, is the defendant. And he is defending himself against that complaint. And each of those individuals has a counsel that is there arguing their case for them before that judge. In some cases, the deciding entity, as we know, is a jury, which many citizens serve. Well, the passage that we're dealing with this morning is a much grander courtroom. And the case is really not an individual case per se. It's really a cosmic one. It's going to refer to everybody. And Satan is the plaintiff. Satan is the accuser, as the Bible calls him. And that's truly who he is. The devil will deceive you and me to cause us to think that he is our friend. He will cause us to think that he is going to lead us into a way that is going to be helpful, in a way that's going to encourage us. But in reality, he is merely trying to ensnare us so that he will end up accusing us. The devil is never out to help. He is always out to destroy. And we have to be reminded of that. When we're in that courtroom, there is the accuser, the devil himself. And though he is, the Bible says, the father of lies, in this case, he's actually telling the truth about us. He's accusing us of being sinners. He's accusing us that we have broken God's law. And that is true of all of us. Romans 3, verses 9 and 10. You're familiar with verse 10 more than you are probably with verse 9. But verse 9 is just reminding us that every one of us, Jews and Gentiles, are sinners. And then verse 10 tells us, as you know this verse, there is none righteous. No, not a single one. Everyone is a sinner. And you know this verse, Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned Every one of us, all have sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory, of God's standard. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we violated only one of those commands, James 2 tells us we are guilty of all of them. And so the just sentence that God, the judge, should hand down in this courtroom is eternal death. And he should hand that down, and he could do that justly because that is the prescribed penalty for our crime. The payment for sin is death, Romans 6:23 tells us. And so this passage is saying to us, my little children, I am writing to you with this understanding, do not sin. I'm writing unto you that ye sin not. And then he says this, and if any man does sin, and that's true of all of us are sinners, all of us would stand in this courtroom and there would be an accuser, the devil himself, accusing us because of our sin. And God could justly condemn us to death, punish us for our crime, because we are guilty. It can never be truthfully argued in that courtroom that we are innocent of the crime. We are indeed guilty. But our situation is not hopeless, because there is someone else in that courtroom. In addition to the devilish accuser, we also have a divine advocate. Do you see that in the verse? And if any man sin, and that's true of all of us, we have an advocate with the judge. There's not only an accuser in that courtroom, there's also an advocate, a divine advocate. And you would think of this divine advocate as our defense attorney. And he's the defense attorney for all believers. And he's actually a most unusual defense attorney. And he's unusual in the sense that he's not maintaining his client's innocence. Instead, he's acknowledging that his client is guilty. And yet, even though as a defense attorney, he's arguing in the courtroom that his client is guilty, he's actually never lost a case for a believer, and he never will. Never. And so Paul would write this in Romans 8 in verses 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, of believers? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then I just want to remind us what Rob read to us out of Colossians 2, just those last three verses. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, these Gentiles, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, the moral law of God that was against us, which was contrary to us. We could not keep it. And it was standing there declaring to us that we are sinners. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is our advocate. Christ is interceding with the Father, the judge, on the basis of his own substitutionary death for sinners. He fully paid the penalty. He is our advocate. The word advocate there, if you're a Bible, a marker, you write in your Bible, you may want to put there, you know, that's the word parakletos. It's the word that means the one who comes alongside to help. And that's who he is. He is our advocate. He's the one who has come alongside to help. And the verdict is that though personally guilty, and our defense attorney, our advocate, is actually acknowledging that he's guilty. But then he's also covered by the righteousness of Christ. What we actually sang about this morning in our new hymn of the month. So we have been justified. We have been declared righteous by faith. And we have peace with this judge, with God, through our advocate, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like you're standing in the courtroom and you're on the in the seat there and you're being judged. And the accuser has argued a very powerful case. And he could argue a really powerful case against every single one of us. He would stand in that courtroom and he would look at that judge and he would say, "Judge, this man, this woman is guilty. They are guilty of this and this and this." And it, actually, we'd all have a long list of things that he would argue against us. And then he sits down. And then our advocate, our defense attorney, stands up. And he looks at the judge and he says to the judge, "Judge, he's right. He is guilty. She is guilty of this and of this and of this and of this. But on such and such a day, they believed in me to take care of their guilt. And they called upon me." Just think about this. "They called upon me and they asked me to save them from all of their sins. And I did it. I died for their sins. You said, 'Judge, the penalty is death.' I died for their sins. And they are now covered in my righteousness." Now you think about what the advocate would say of you today. You think about that. When you've just been had a strong case argued against you that you're guilty, do you have an advocate in this courtroom who is going to say of you, "They are guilty, hands down, no question about it." And what would you say? You may not remember the exact date, but you ought to be very confident that there has been a specific time when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as God's answer for your sins. No one grows into salvation. There comes a specific point in time where somebody says, "God, you are right. I am a sinner. Jesus is your answer for my sins, and I believe that answer. And I am depending upon Jesus Christ to save me and cover all of my sins with his righteousness." There should be this time that you can reflect back on and be confident in your life. And so if this is true of you, you have this advocate who has argued this case. If this is not true of you, if you sit here this morning and you say, "I wonder when or if I have ever done that. Has there ever been a point in my life where I recognize that? Actually, in my life, I've been trying to do the very best I can. Because I know one day I'm going to stand before that judge. And I feel like that I'm going to have a scale there. And I want to make sure that the good things that I have done weighs down, and so it's going to overpower the bad things that I've done, and I'm going to be okay with this judge. He's going to see the balance there. Many people in the world, I would argue that maybe most people in the world live their life on that basis. They believe my salvation, my eternal destiny is up to me, and I've got to make sure I do enough good. And if I've done enough good, my good overweighs my bad, then I'm going to be okay. And my friend, you will never be okay. You will never be okay. Because every one of us on that scale, when that balance is there, we are all going to be on the wrong side. Because even the very best that you and I do, Prophet Isaiah says, it's as filthy rags. The very best that you and I can offer, because we're not perfect. And that's the judge's standard. And so then that leads me to this last thing. Here's the verdict that comes down. The verdict is perfect propitiation. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. You say, well, what does that mean? Propitiation means appeasement, or it may mean satisfaction. And that propitiation is necessary because of our sin. Sinners continually violate God's perfect law. And that is God's standard. Remember, I'm writing to you that you don't sin. What is sin? It's the transgression of the law. What is he saying here? I'm writing to you that you don't disobey the law. But if you do, and that's true of all of us, then you could have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is pleading your case. He is the satisfaction. God then, because of our sin, is the righteously offended creator. And he has to react to in holy anger and wrath and judgment against our sin. And that wrath has to be satisfied. And that's what we mean by the word propitiation. When Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, died for our sins, he satisfied God's wrath against sin. Because he had no sin. And he died there for all of ours, and God covered us in his righteousness, in Jesus' righteousness. And so that Paul would write in Romans 3, verses 24 to 26, you see these verses, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Jesus is the one who is arguing our case that we have been covered in his righteousness. Now, this is true for a believer. This is what we're celebrating today. This is why we would sing today about the cross. The choir would sing about the old rugged cross. The men would remind us that it's still the cross. And Romans tells us that Jesus died on that cross and God declared him, Jesus, to be the Son of God with power by raising him from the dead. And he is the advocate in that courtroom for every child of God. And if you're here this morning, I hope that it encourages you that Jesus Christ is right there with you. That Jesus Christ is arguing your case, that he is interceding before God the judge, our Father, in your behalf. But if you're here this morning and you have never come come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's never been a point where you came and you realized, I'm a sinner and my sins are going to send me to hell, but Jesus died for my sins and I've placed my faith in him. If that's never happened to you, then you will stand in that courtroom completely alone. Your accuser will surely be there, but you will have no one to argue in your defense. And you will be guilty of what the accuser is saying. And there's no one to come to your defense and to plead your case. And you do not want to be in that situation. No one wants to be there in that situation. And no one, praise God, has to be there. Anyone can come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I would urge you today, if that has never taken place, that this would be the day. It's very simple. You just have to understand, I'm a sinner and Jesus is the only Savior. And you just bow your head and you ask God to save you from your sins based on the fact that Jesus died there on the cross to cover and take care of all of your sins. You could do that today. And so I would encourage you, make this the day of your salvation. Make this the day that you will look back on and you will be able to say, you know, I'm a sinner. But on August the 4th of 2024, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And on that day, I depended on what Jesus did for me on the cross and nothing else. And that day I got covered in the righteousness of Christ. This could be your testimony.